Easter morning in Sri Lanka. Where is that mighty God we talk about, holy and immortal? We're going to be looking at aftermath of Holy Week in our lives, and also about some principals who have principles. This is Father Boskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between all of those topics and our spiritual and emotional life, along with the physical. This is episode number 568 of The Next Step. We're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Principle. Do you remember how they taught you to spell the word principle? Well, it would depend on what it meant, right? What is it? There's homonyms. Homonyms are, I think, words that are spelled the same, mean different. These are homophones. Homophones. These are words that sound alike, spelled differently, and definitely have different meanings. So there's principal, the person who is in charge of your school, the head administrative person at your school is called the principal. And you have principles by which you live your life. The basic foundation, the underlying rules by which you live, we call those the principles of your life. Principle. So what is the difference? How do you spell principal, the school administrator, and how do you spell principle by which you live your life? Do you remember how they taught you? They'd say a principal is your pal. P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L. Principal is your pal. And the other one, obviously, it's principal, the other principal, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E. Well, how about what happens when you've got a principal who is a man of principle? Yeah, that's what I had. I was very lucky. He definitely wasn't my pal. At least he wasn't my pal back then. We've gotten to know each other in the years afterwards, especially because I think you realize and you recognize things that you couldn't see when you were a young kid. But I had the good fortune of attending a school called Holy Martyrs Ferahian School. It was the first Armenian high school in all of the United States. And my father put me in there in 1968. We had a principal named Gabriel Injajikian, who passed away just this past week, and his funeral's this upcoming Saturday, and I hope to be attending it. But he was definitely a man of principle. He was our principal at the school, but a man of principle. And like so many times when you're a kid, especially at age 12, 13, what do you know? You don't appreciate what you got, right? And then years later, you look back on it and you realize what a mark they've left in your life, how influential they've been in your life. Gabriel Injajikian was one of those pioneers. First of all, the entire Armenian parochial school system is in place here in the United States because of him. He was a pioneer. He was one of those people that, you know, rarely do you find in life. Somebody was willing to risk everything for the principles by which he lived. He believed in the Armenian nation. He believed in the Armenian language. And he was really a pioneer that put it all on the line. He walked the talk. He talked it and he was out there walking it. And sometimes it's not a popular place to be, as we are finding. I got a lot to tell you, a lot to share with you today. Yes, indeed. A dear friend, Pastor Todd Leonard of the Glendale City Church, he posted something on his Facebook page. He had taken a look at our Leveraging Love video, and I just want to read this to you because it kind of caught me off guard. You know, he says, this is on April 24th. He said, "Today we remember and mourn the systematic killing of 1.5 million Armenians at the hands of the Ottoman Empire. For many years now, my colleague, who is becoming my friend, Father Voskin, and we are friends, has been calling our Glendale community to a radical and extremely difficult response to the Armenian genocide. His efforts, I feel, are in the footsteps of the great peace movements of history. My family's heritage does not include in its history such a recent atrocity as my Armenian brothers and sisters, and I can't give advice on how to healthfully integrate the deep emotion and pain from having our parents and grandparents slaughtered. But Voskin's call to leverage our woundedness to bring love to others who are suffering today, I believe, points to the direction of righteousness and is in the best tradition of our Christian faith." Wow. I was very moved to read something like that. That, you know, this is from the outside, somebody looking in and making this pronouncement. And, you know, I could only wish that it would take on the form of a movement. But at this point in my life, you know, this is like this movie, and there'll be a link on today's show notes. I know many of you have seen it, but it's 57 minutes. You know, I mean, you know, that's like almost a penny a minute would buy you a postage stamp today. Can you believe that? It's the cost of a postage stamp. And it's free. It's online. It's on YouTube. Watch it. 57 minutes. It is the next step. It's how we kicked off the next step. 10 years ago, we talked about leveraging love. And I can only hope that it would be a movement. But at this point, you know, 10 years later, I'd settle for just a few people giving it a shot. I mean, yes, we have our small group, our in issues, but insanity this past few days. Insane. I've been on TV. I've been interviewed on PBS, on National Public Radio, NPR. I mean, it's bizarre. You know, people about a story 104 years old, the genocide, which I personally grew up in the shadow of, and I have the utmost respect for a generation and what they went through. I remember those genocide survivors. They were part and parcel of my life. But to pretend that people today walking on the streets of Hollywood, walking through Glendale, are somehow connected with those bold and incredible people of the past is bizarre. You know, I mean, without their Mercedes and without their BMWs, I mean, would we be willing to go out into the desert and walk there? I mean, we have to really take a hard look inside, and we're not doing that. And so there we were again this last few days, 104th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. We're doing the same old things, expecting different result. One of the Armenian op-ed guys, he was on TV. Yes, well, Trump did not say the word genocide. Come on, folks, let's get over this. I went to county events with so many other Armenians. We actually stood there in the county supervisor's chambers, and they humored us. You know, they looked at us. As long as they're in power, genocide will not raise its ugly head. Come on. And you have no power over genocide at the county level, at the city level, at the state level. What are you talking about? What are they talking about? But we applaud them. We applaud them and we're happy. Instead of saying, hey, let's do something that really leverages, that they cannot escape. And yeah, sure enough, people throughout the world went and they protested. We demand, we demand, we demand. Okay, very good. You demand, and then what? Leveraging love is an answer to that. And it's a matter of principle. And we get back to that the basic thing that I started off with, the basic idea of principal and principal. I had the fortune of having a principal at my school who had principals. And he put it out on the line, okay? He said, okay, if we're going to keep Armenians alive here in this country, we're going to do it through education. And he started the first Armenian high school. Later on, the system became, it gave way to Armenian day schools. But here's the interesting thing. Why in the world would you, in the diaspora, keep your language going? My father used to say this to me, and I really didn't understand it till way later. There's only one reason you'd keep the Armenian language or any other language that is non-English, right, here in America. Why would you keep it going? Because one day you would have the hope that you would use that language in your own homeland. I mean, that's where it's going to make sense. So you keep it alive so that one day you're going to be back there. And Mr. Njajikian, who is our principal here, the principal, had this principle. He believed in Armenian. He believed in Armenia. And I'll never forget this day, indelibly marked in my memory as an age of 13. We were in a school bus. You know those big yellow school buses? No air conditioning. By the way, there was no seat belts. It was three on a seat. And that's okay when you're going from, you know, for a half an hour ride, maybe even an hour. We went on a 6-7 hour ride from Los Angeles to San Francisco just to showcase what the Armenian school system can produce. And three in a seat. We went with the whole school in a school bus all the way to San Francisco. Hot. You've got the windows open and it's just blowing hot air at you. And we got to a place, those of you who know Southern California, on the Highway 5, there's an area called the Grapevine. And it is a rather long way up. It's a decent climb in any car. And this is in a school bus. And we got to the top, up to a small little town there called Fraser Park. And there is a rest station. And I'll never forget this. He got on the microphone, Mr. Njajikian, and he said, okay. He says, this is a rest stop. There is water down there. You can go and get your water. He says, but I'll tell you, those of you who do not drink the water, will be the people who have the determination, who have the principles, who have the dedication, who have the self-discipline. Those are the people who will be there to enjoy Armenia when we have a free Armenia. In other words, he instilled within us that idea of sacrifice, of discipline. And I remember that. I mean, people ran out and got water. I may have been one of those. I don't remember what my reaction was to that. But I do remember him talking like this. And in fact, for the 2 years that I was at Fedahian, it was just remarkable, remarkable times. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know who I am right now was because of him, because of the school there. So he just passed away, and we're gonna be celebrating his life in a couple of days at a funeral service. And in a sense, I've celebrated his life through the things that I do, and I was very, very thankful that over the last, I'd say over the last 10, 15 years, I've had many occasions to visit with him, even in his home, and to share with him ideas and especially share my appreciation. I guess that's the most important, right? To share your appreciation with somebody who has made a difference in your life. Mr. Njajikian, that's what we'd call him. He was the man. He was the principal. And he had principles. Incredible principles. Yeah, he was a principal with principles. There you go. And I could tell you a lot of stories, but suffice it to say, we'll have a link on today's show notes. Do check out his obituary, a little bit of story about him. And I hope to maybe share some more with you next week, post-funeral. But getting back to April 24th, it happened to be the 104th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And here we were all, it's the same old, Albert Einstein, physicist extraordinaire, put it out very plainly. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. And there we were. It just, I mean, we're doing the same old things. I mean, I wish you could have heard it. If you didn't get a chance, do check out the internet for news about the Armenian genocide. You've got people applauding politicians who could care less about the Armenian people. You've got politicians laughing at our face and saying, oh yeah, we're going to bring Turkey to its knees. They're not going to do any of that. And you all know that, right? You remember last year when Americans were beaten up in Washington, D.C.? Do you remember there was Americans that were protesting the Erdogan's arrival? I forgot what the exact issue that they were protesting. But Erdogan's, the Turkish president's henchmen, they just beat him up right on our property, right in Washington, D.C. I know you don't believe this, right? I'll leave a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. Yeah. No, that was just about a year ago. Maybe a little bit longer. What did we do? Nothing. Nothing. And now we're going to go and we're going to make them come down to their knees. No. Check out this. I'm going to say it. Check out Leveraging Love. There is a difficult, but decent answer. And this goes back to why it's so important to be people of faith. What did we just go through? What was this last 7 weeks, 49 days all about? It was self-inspection. And you wonder, do people inspect their lives? Well, obviously they don't if they do the same thing expecting different results. In other words, they're on the verge of insanity. Because really, really, I mean, think about it for a moment, right? You do the same exact same things. And it takes a physicist to figure this out because that's what experimentation is, right? Isn't that the whole purpose of scientific experimentation? You have a theory or you've developed a new product. Well, you have to repeat, right? And you have to show that it's consistent. Okay. I don't know. The two molecules of hydrogen combined with one molecule of oxygen produces water. Okay. This is the theory. Now you bring those two molecules together along with the one of oxygen. You put them together and you go, oh, it turned into water. You have to prove that a few times. You have to do it and you have to make sure that it's the same every time. That's how you prove something is true. And so insanity is not believing that. And we do this all the time. We do the same old, same old, same old stuff. And then at the end of it, we say, why not? I mean, I wish you could have seen this. I wish you could have seen the fiasco that we witnessed yesterday, April 24th, 2019. We basically sold the rights to the genocide martyrs as if we ever had them, you know? And we had let politicians tell us. I mean, this is a true story. If I didn't see it, I wouldn't believe it. You had on Armenian television the newscaster putting a microphone in front of a congressman, not the United States congressman. You're talking about the state of California congressman, assembly member. And what can we do, Your Honor? What can we do? What can we do to bring Turkey to justice? And the guy, very matter of fact, you know, well, make sure you people get out there and vote. You remember my name. I'm with you and I will be supporting you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're sitting in the town of Los Angeles. You could be sitting in the town of Washington, Moscow. What are you going to do about it? Come on. Seriously. And these are bizarre, bizarre realities that we have to live through, where you're seeing people just like begging when we have the answer all along. Jesus Christ has given us the answer. Leverage that love that he's given us. We won't go to the church. We won't go to the church. No, 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 no. That's what we're going to be talking about second portion today. We're going to be talking about what happened at Holy Week. We didn't go to the church. I'm not talking about the physical church. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. We didn't go to Jesus Christ. we let him hang on a cross, and we took him down, and we buried him, and we said, that's it. It's how we talk about our faith, but we don't really believe it. We don't believe there's going to be resurrection. We put him into a tomb, and let's just get on with the show, and let's cry, and let's weep, and we've been victimized by the evil, and look at that, and we're just victims. Instead of looking within and saying, hey, we tried this, okay, you know, maybe I'm not a fan of it, but, you know, there are some merits to what we tried, but what, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. Okay, now there is a way around it, and it's given to us by our faith. Jesus Christ is telling us that there is a power that is greater than the darkness. It's called light. Walk in light. Jesus Christ is telling us there is a power greater than death. It's called life. Walk in life. Don't celebrate the dead. Celebrate life. Imagine that. Imagine if we did that. Jesus Christ said there's a power that is more powerful than evil. That's the good. Do the good. Love is more powerful than hate. Go out there and love. You see, the way we live, we think that the only thing real is the tangible, and those things that, you know, make sense in our mind are things that we can absorb with our senses. And we forget about the most important sense that we have, which is our soul. It's our heart. Look at what happened last week, Notre Dame. You see that cross. We tried to explain that cross after the fire instead of just accepting that, hey, something very, very special happened. You know, not everything is black and white. And this is where our church calls us to that introspection, looking at it as an Armenian community. Why aren't we thinking about, hey, this has not worked. This has not worked the way we wanted it to. Hey, you know what? We have a faith. And our faith tells us that there is something more powerful. And just imagine if we were making April 24th a day of good living. If that became our new Pumbara Genton and we were out there and doing the good works. I mean, my God, I went to the blood drive on April 23rd, one day before. Susan and I got there. We had to go somewhere else, actually, in the morning. And so we had to skip our reservation and just show up. We expected a line and we expected to wait. But after all, on April 24th, 1915, we gave blood against our will. Today, we were willingly going to give our blood for the sake of people to live. We expected a line, Armenians, saying, yes, let's give something back. No, they just got us in and out quickly, gave the pint, thank you very much, and we're out. Not because there was an overabundance of workers and staff. No, because there just wasn't a line. There just wasn't a line. But we lined up and we filled up streets to protest, to talk evil, to talk hatred, instead of talking the language of love. And we always point to the Jewish people. We say, look at the Jews. They had a Holocaust and people recognized. Don't forget the Holocaust was very different. The Holocaust, the Jews weren't in their own homeland. We were in our own homeland and we were taken out. Quite different from the Jewish experience is also the Jewish aftermath. The Jews have been very successful in separating the Germans from Nazism. And so therefore, everybody, without exception, we all hate Nazis. It's evil. It's wrong to be a Nazi. And that's something everybody could buy into it. We all buy into it. You don't have to hate Germans. You have to hate Nazis. In the Armenian case, there is no separation. No, it's the Turks. Instead of talking about the Ottoman Empire, the evil empire and everything, we talk about the Turks. Go after the Turks. Well, you know what? Honestly, people don't want to go after the Turks. You know, honestly, they happen to be still part of NATO, whether you like it or not. And, you know, honestly, there are millions and millions and millions of lives dependent on that NATO relationship. Let's be honest, okay? It's a difficult one, I know. And that's why I'm inviting you to watch Leveraging Love. It's a 1 hour, 57-minute little video. And look what it says there. And it's on today's show notes. It's been on our website, In His Shoes. It is the foundation, the cornerstone of the Next Step movement. What is the next step? There it is. It's a video that was presented and produced in 2009. It is exactly 10 years. But I'll tell you something, the message this year especially touched me even more because I realized that, you know, unless we do some change, it's over. So I invite you to look at that. When I come back after the song of the day, I'm going to be sharing with you some thoughts about Easter and the celebration of Easter and Easter week and what we did. You know, we got back from Utah, but also we were at the cathedral. Some thoughts about the burial. But it starts off with this song that I'm going to share with you today. This happens to be off an Orthodox. Now, the Eastern Orthodox, the great Eastern Orthodox Church, they celebrate their Easter this coming Sunday. They're on schedule and has to do with the moon and the celebration of Passover, the difference between Western and Eastern Easter celebrations. The Armenian Church, being part of the Eastern tradition, interestingly enough, 1923, for some reason, changed the celebration of Easter to the Western calendar. So we celebrate Easter with the West, namely last week, like with the Roman Catholic Church. But in Eastern Orthodox tradition, they celebrate Easter this coming Sunday. And I'm going to play for you a song off of their album. It is hymns, Eastern Orthodox hymns. It's called Orthodoxy Today. There'll be a link on today's show notes. But I want you to listen to the words as it starts off. And we're going to be talking about that in the second portion of today's show. So here it is. It's called Living in an Orthodox World.
Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Holy God, holy mighty.
At the first hour we worship Him, the morning sun who rose again.
Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Holy immortal, have mercy on us.
At the third hour God's Spirit came into our hearts, His love to remain.
Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us.
At the sixth hour He nailed to the cross the sins that made us suffer lust.
Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Holy God, holy mighty.
At the ninth hour He died for us, now we have life and forgiveness.
Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Every hour and every day, like heaven on earth, it's time to pray. Have mercy on us.
Living in an Orthodox World is the CD from which we took that particular song, that particular hymn. And this is by Father Michael Shunbor. Now, he's from the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. These are people that I've had a very, very close relationship with, I'd say about 25, 30 years ago. When I was the priest up in Cupertino, they had a mission out in Ben Lomond. They had a mission actually in Los Altos. And the priests, we'd get together. We'd get together, believe it or not, once a month, and we'd share experiences. A very, very, very close relationship. And I do not know Father Michael Chambord, but this particular CD is a collection of hymns. And I wanted to play this particular one because it starts off with the words, "Holy God, holy and immortal, holy and mighty." You've heard that in the Armenian tradition. Surpastvad, surpyevzor, surpyev anma. And that became the topic of my Friday night sermon at the cathedral. That's what I want to share with you. Because if you heard the translation just now, and in other words, if you heard this hymn played just now, you'll notice something very, very different between this and the Armenian. And I'm not talking about the language or the pronunciation. I'm talking about what was said. And that's what we're going to explore in this next portion. Christos Hariavi Merenos. Christ has risen from the dead. Blessed is the resurrection of Christ. That's the greeting that we have during Easter. In fact, for the next 40 days, this is how we should be greeting one another. It replaces the conventional greeting of Holy Easter or Happy Easter. Or, you know, bunny rabbits and Easter eggs. This is about Christ resurrecting. It's akin to that big debate that we have every Christmas. Should I say Happy Holidays? Should I say Merry Christmas? Actually, we Armenians solve it. We say Christ has been born and revealed. The center of it has to be Christ. Just as Easter's center is Christ. Christ is resurrected. And it's interesting because, especially right after Easter this year, we prepped for the genocide commemoration. And it was very interesting because, Saturday and Sunday we were in Utah. Let me tell you how we spent Holy Week. First of all, big, big honor. And I shared with you last week, Holy Thursday, the Order of Darkness, Holy Friday, the crucifixion and burial services. I was asked to give the sermon at the Armenian Cathedral, the Tserpots-Revontians Cathedral. What an honor. I'm still shaking by it. And I just, in fact, got the recordings of it. So we should have those up very soon, like within a day. You should be able to hear them. And I've shared with you. I'm not going to hold anything back. You're my family, the next steppers. You know, I've shared with you that, you know, sometimes you talk and you don't know where that comes from. And that's what that night was like, both nights. It was just an opportunity to share really what was on my heart. And I hope you'll feel that when you listen to these recordings. So those two nights, Thursday and Friday, we were in Burbank. We got on a plane and headed out to Salt Lake City, yes, Mormon capital, and we were there where at the Prophet Elias Greek Orthodox Church, which the Armenian community rents for Easter services. And so we did Easter there. We did the Holy Divine Liturgy, and I was able to celebrate with two of my sons who celebrated as deacons, my wife Susan, of course, and a group of people that were there really eager and anxious to receive this message. And I was able to tell that by their response. Christ has risen. And they responded, yes, indeed he has risen. Blessed is the resurrection of Christ. It was pretty, pretty decent. I mean, I've got to tell you, I was very, very moved. This was our second Easter with this community. And you know, it's very apostolic. You go to these places in the same spirit as the apostles went, and you're taking that message of Christ resurrecting. And these are areas where, you know, you don't have a formal church. You don't have a formal congregation. And there's this hunger to hear the message of Christ. And so there we are. in its raw form, a raw Easter. And so we did that. As soon as we got back, let's see, Sunday night, Monday morning, I was invited to the Glendale Adventist Hospital. This is one of the big hospitals here in Los Angeles, where for the staff, because many of the staff members are Armenian, they did a genocide commemoration. It's interesting, right? Right after Easter, you have to come from Christ has resurrected, and instead of celebrating, you're back to this downer of we are victims. And of course, this one was in my hands. I didn't need to let it go in any other direction. And I said, no, we are not going to be victims. And as God would have it, the president of the hospital introduced the ceremony and the service. She got up and presented herself. She happens to be an Armenian. And I just took off with that. I said, how dare we think we're victims? The president of one of the largest, most prestigious medical facilities in all of Southern California is an Armenian. You want to talk a victim? I call that victor. I call that victory. And that's what we need to celebrate. Look around you. Look at all the opportunities that we have to celebrate rather than anguish in our victimization. I'm not a victim. I refuse. I refuse to call it a victimization. And so that's the gear we went into. And then, of course, Tuesday morning had to be at the county supervisors, where, again, I was with a bunch of just different Armenian organizations, including different churches there, who all under the banner of Jesus Christ, talking about we were victims, we look at us, woe is us, poor us, you know. And there is something about we have to get out of the way, because there's so many other people that right now need help. You look at the refugee problem. How can we talk about refugees today if we're going to stand in their way and say, hey, look at what happened 100 years ago? No, the only answer is to look at what happened in the past and use it to define who we are today. And so I was very thankful that the Archbishop allowed me to share some ideas at that event as well. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is this whole idea of Christ resurrecting, what that means to us. We sing a hymn in the Armenian church. Surpastvads, surpievazor, surpievanma. In fact, you heard it just a minute ago in English. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal. And I said there's a difference. If you noticed in the song just sung, have mercy upon us, he says. In the Armenian, there's an additional small little phrase that's added. And we Armenians add that. Surpasvad, surpievazor, surpievanma, vor haryavi merelots, vor tagetsar vasen mer, vor khachetsar vasen mer. Holy God, holy and immortal, holy and mighty, who was crucified for us, who was buried for us, who resurrected from the grave for us, have mercy upon us. That one little phrase is a big one. Don't discount it. Because it takes guts to say that a God who is letting his son die on a cross is holy and immortal, holy and mighty. You see what I'm saying? We put that extra line in there, who was buried for us. I mean, the audacity that we would say a God who was buried in a tomb, a God who was crucified on a cross, is holy and mighty. How dare we say that's mighty? Where's the might in that? Well, obviously, it's a very powerful might, isn't it? Because in the end, who won? And we, as people, are people of history. And what I did last Friday night at the burial service, I challenged those who were there to think of the disciples What were they thinking? Their friend, their leader, their guru, their teacher, the person that they had spent 3 years with. They had gone from village to village, healing the sick, making the lame walk, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. The one that they walked on water with, the one they fed 5,000 with, the one they talked with, they shared with. It was like a brother. All of a sudden, he was taken from their hands. And taken by who? The same people who just a couple days earlier had lined up the streets of Jerusalem, laid down their clothes and said, "Hosanna. Blessed be you who comes in the name of the Lord." They said, "Come in," and with the palm branches. These same people got up in front of Pilate and they yelled out, "Crucify him. Kill him." Yep. The same people. The one different, the same people. Kill him. And we see Jesus taken away. The disciples saw that. What did they think? Jesus was saying he was God. Jesus was doing all of these things and he couldn't get himself off of the cross. He was healing cripples and he couldn't get himself off of the cross. He was talking about destroying the temple and building it in 3 days and he couldn't do something as small as getting off of a cross. And yet, a destroyed temple he could build back in 3 days? What do you suppose the disciples were thinking? That this was bizarre. What happened? They were dazed. They were floored. You don't think about it. In the aftermath of a horrific death like this, watching your friend being beaten, humiliated, nailed to a cross, what do you think? Well, the disciples were completely, completely flabbergasted. They were out of it. We, on the other hand, some 2,000 years later, know what the story is. So we can stand at that service of Good Friday, talk about the crucifixion, talk about the burial, and we know what the story is, right? We know where the story leads because we know that it is a Good Friday. We know it's not Bad Friday. We've named it Good Friday. There's a reason why we've given it the name Good, right? Because we know the rest of the story. We know what's going to happen on Sunday. Otherwise, we'd call it Bad Friday. If it ended there, we'd say horrible Friday. But we call it Good Friday for a reason, because we know the rest of the story. And that is a very unique position that we're in, because now we've taken it for granted. And so put your feet in the shoes of the disciples. What kind of horror? What were they thinking? And where does this idea, holy God, holy and mighty, who was crucified, who was buried for us, where's the audacity to write a line like that? How can we as Armenians add that in there? And it's very simple. We do so because we are witnesses to the power of resurrection. We are witnesses in our own lives. We have seen that darkness. We felt that darkness. We've lived in that darkness. And then we've seen the power of light. We are witnesses to evil being crushed by the power of good. We are witnesses and we are testifying, giving our testimony. Holy God, holy and mighty, who was crucified for us. We are giving our testimony to a mighty God because by virtue of the things that have happened to us through our lives. Our history is one of victory. Do you see why it's important that even now, 100 years after the genocide, the cleverness of the church to be able to say that the martyrs of 1915 are sanctified, are saints in our church. It's the pronouncement that we are not victims, we are victors. That's what Easter is about. There is a certain power in that that can overcome all of the difficulties you have. Do you realize that for the last 7 weeks, we have been going through all kinds of things together? We have experienced different moments, different adventures, so to speak, during the Lenten journey. And now it's over. Now we have life to contend with. That life is strengthened by the discipline that we went through. We have become now the principled people, people who live by principle. And so, despite our difficulties, despite what we have gone through in the past, it is time today for a new beginning. And so, yes, we all have mistakes, we have sin, we have problems that are all left there at the tomb of Christ. Because on the other side of the tomb is a new beginning, is resurrection, and death cannot conquer that resurrection. That's the power of this message. And so when we pronounce holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, we mean that that God is holy and mighty, able to overcome the worst of the worst. It is an all-powerful God. It is an immortal God. And herein is the answer, the solution, to some of the biggest questions and problems that we have in life. Look what happened Easter morning, 2019. Sri Lanka. Over 300 people, 330 people were massacred, were killed during Easter celebrations. Another few hundred were left ill in hospitals, left deformed, left paralyzed. I mean, how could that be? Where is God powerful, God immortal, God and almighty, if he couldn't take care of his children? If he couldn't take care of his son up on the cross, and yet, from the cross, the message that we get from Jesus Christ is not about, oh, I'm a victim and I'm sitting here. It's the message of love. I'm opening up my life because greater love has no one than this to lay down his life for his friends. There is a message of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. There is a message of forgiveness, hope, and forever. The convicted felon that is hanging next to him. I mean, the guy who's not even baptized, who doesn't even accept Jesus Christ. To him he turns and he says, this day, not tomorrow, not at the rapture, not at some future time, this day, you will be in paradise with me. This is what faith is about. This is why the story of Jesus on the cross is so important in our lives, because this is the story of our lives. God loved us so much that he wanted to know our pain. In Armenian, what we say, Tzavadanim, he wanted to understand our pain. He became one of us, and he did. And he said, the higher message is this: love, forgive, share, reach out to one another. It is your only hope as human beings. It is your only hope as a population living on a small little planet called Earth. Love one another. I have to tell you, this Easter 2019, all of its difficulties, all of its problems that were unfolding as the services were going on, became an Easter for me that was profoundly touched by the miracle of resurrection. And I need to share that miracle with the world. Because yes, it is a crazy world. Yes, it is a world that is filled with darkness. But the power of light is greater. I want to thank you all for your prayers during this Easter season. They've touched me in a very unique way. And I want to thank the Archbishop Hovnan Derderian for giving me this opportunity to share with so many people in this new chapter in our lives. And God bless you. Christos Hariav Imelos. Christ has resurrected. from the dead. I'll be back right after this.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for your prayers, especially during this Easter time. I know so many of you wrote to me about the Lenten journey. I just can answer you with a very simple, it was my pleasure to do it. And I'm overwhelmed with happiness to know that it is serving its purpose. We've had a great Lent and an Easter week, and we have so much to be grateful for. I know I promised you that we were going to have some projects by Easter. It just hasn't panned out, but it's okay. God has his time, and we're trying to work with him. If God gives us a little bit more time during a day, which it seems like here in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are getting longer, so we are taking advantage of that sunlight, and it's to the advantage of the apostle ministry. I want to thank you for being with us, and this week, let's see, this Sunday we're going to be with the Starkey Foundation and celebrating all the good work that they do in providing hearing aids throughout the world. This coming week, we have, of course, Questions in Faith Monday evening. We do have a special guest who will be talking about her experiences in Germany in the refugee camps. Tuesday evening, if you happen to be in the Southern California area, the YWCA is hosting a discussion about racism, and I'll be speaking, yes, as the Armenian priest. I'll be speaking there about racism, and I hope to share with you next week, okay, as things unfold. It's something brand new that they're doing, and I'm very honored and proud to be a part of it. So that about wraps it up. Let's see, we're at all the usual socials. Do stay in touch with us. Like I said, I promised you we're going to get the Holy Week sermons up there, so probably we'll get the news out via the socials or by a special email, but there'll be some on all of our usual spots. Do check us out. And of course, the best way to get in touch with us, email. Yes, it still works. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. That's apostle with an E. Why? It's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. This is wild, isn't it? On behalf of the wonderful team who brought to you today's show, Ken, our technical director, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Oh, I'm top with it.